So I guess the question is there a link? Like, do you see any type of natural link, whether it's scary masks over the years or some of the different themes? We, you know, obviously Halloween, the movie series, and goalie masks. Like, is there some type of intrinsic tie between Halloween and this time of year and goalie masks?
No, I could say yes and be bullshitting, but no, not really. I mean, the masks that sort of go with that theme are, you know, like Gretchen's mask with the lion's motif on it, and Gary Bromley's with the skull. The mask I did for fellow Jerry Giuliani, that was the goalie in Youngblood wearing the skull mask. Spordansky's as well. I mean, they're all sort of along that line. I get a kick out of everyone referring to the Jason mask as the Jason mask. Most people don't recognize or even know that it basically was a store-bought taunt mask. You know, the early version of the store-bought taunt mask, that's what it was. And they just kind of marked it up and distressed it to make it look more sinister. But that's what it was. They actually, when they were doing the movie Freddy versus Jason, the movie company doing it called me and wanted to know if I could make replicas of the plot mask. And I said yes, and I gave them a price and then never heard from them again. Because there was none available anymore. When the original movie was done, there would have been ones available. And then eventually they just adapted it and changed it. I'm trying to think if there was any other Halloween theme one that I did, because I didn't think that way then.
Right.
It had to do with the player. It had to do with the city or something I was interested in that I could tie into the mask, but always in keeping with, you know, something that was tasteful, which I cannot say is around now. You know, when you got zombies on masks and this kind of stuff, it shouldn't be anyways, but I'm out of dealing with the NHL, so I don't have to worry about that anymore.
What do you remember? And obviously, like, there's different stories, and like you said, I appreciate actually you sharing the story about the Plant store-bought mask for Jason, because I wasn't aware either, right? And that's part of, you know, why I wanted to reach out to sort of get the right story and the real stories on some of these ties and tie-ins between masks and Halloween. And what the other one was, there's so many different stories about, you know, that sort of that first paint job and Favel and the orange and the Flyers and the, and I know that wasn't you, that was more a trainer, but like, what do you remember about that being, and do you remember it being an impetus at all for guys starting to paint masks, or is it more about Cheevers and marking his up that really started the trend?
I think the mask that Doug wore was a Higgins mask in Philadelphia.
Right.
And as far as I know, Frank Lewis painted it, and he was the equipment trainer there.
Right.
And it was done as more of a Halloween prank, I think, initially, painting it orange, because Favel's head, and you would have seen it in the mask that I made for him in Toronto. The second one, especially with the giant maple leaf on it, his head looked like a pumpkin. Like it was very round. There wasn't like the shape of his head was round. The jawline just lent itself to that kind of pumpkin idea. And then they got sick of doing that. And Bobby Taylor, actually, his Higgins mask was, I believe, painted first, with the white, with the black kind of triangles on it. And then Cavell, they did the, and again, all of this, I assume, I'm pretty sure it was Frank Lewis, because I know I spoke to him. That same orange and that Starburst mask became his first Leaf mask. And Frank Lewis told me that he literally sprayed the mask white and then went to a maple tree in the front of his house and grab the biggest maple leaf you could find and put it on the forehead with the stem going down onto the nose and trace it out. Basically, that's how that design came about.
Oh, that's fun.
I changed it, you know, when he came to Toronto. I did one bigger mask and then a three-quarter mask with the giant maple leaf. But my maple leaves were both right on the front. Like, they took up the whole mask.
So there, I was just going to say, there you go. Like, even though it's, like you said, it would be BS to say that the evolution was tied to Halloween. That first one for Favelle, or that first orange paint job, as much as it may have just been a joke or a hoax, you know, definitely has ties to October 31st.
Yeah.
What some of your more famous, like the scary theme? Like, I know with Bromley, with the skull, as intimidating as scary as it looked, it was more just a play on his nickname Bones because he was so skinny.
His nickname was Bones.
Yeah, because he was so skinny.
On the back plate, I did the word bone. It's done like you'd take and made a font, basically using bones,
right,
as the basis for it. Most people don't see that back piece.
Right, no, I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's written across the top, bones.
Love it.
And it wasn't the scariest one. Like, it was his nickname. The scarier ones were first Gordensky's and then the mask in Youngblood. And then when I did the mask for Youngblood, they had called and said, we want, you understand you make NHL goaltenders masks. I said, yes. They said, we want four masks, and we don't need them painted. We'll just need them white. And I said to them, I said, unless I make and paint them, I said, I don't make them. Nobody else is going to paint my masks. So they said, well, can you bring down some examples of your work? I said, sure, no problem. So when I got there, they had taken my Yves Boulanger mask and the Flames one and eliminated all the other intermediate variants of orange and yellow and just made a red and white one. They had already copied that as their artwork. They had your Sierra's mask, which I had done, which is basically the shape, the design on it was based on the Czech flag. And then they had a mask that was white with red stitches like Chivas. And I said, that looks like hell. I said, it's not going to show up. I said, how about I do a mask, got a red mask with stylized stitches on it. And that's what I made for Keanu Reeves. He was the goalie that wore that.
Right.
And then they wanted something. They didn't have any idea what they wanted to do for the Thunder Bay Bombers goalie. So I said, well, how about we do a fierce-looking skull for the Bomber? And that's how that one came about. So I ended up doing them all, of course. And that's how they got done.
Now, do you think there's a place for that? Like you said, some of those, there was that fierce look, that intimidation. Do you think for any of those masks, obviously not all of them, you know, Bromley's may have had that, but it wasn't what it was all about. But do you think there was a place for that? Did some guys ever reach out to you and say, I want to look mean, I want to look, or was that just mostly for the movies?
Yeah, it was mostly for the movie. The like Gretin's lion's mask is based on his astrological sign.
Right.
And that's why I came up with that. Even though he has done a number of interviews and said a number of things over the years, but, you know, he thought he was a reincarnated jungle cat and all this kind of stuff. But after the fact justification, it wasn't what it started out to be. And then I've seen quotes from John Ferguson saying, you know, he seems to think that he can intimidate this and whatever works for him, let him go with it. You know, and as Emil Francis, I think they played them first, and they interviewed Emil Francis about that very thing, and he said, well, if players are looking at a guy's face and are intimidated by that, they're looking at the wrong place, basically. They should be looking at the net. But that's, I mean, it makes for good copy, it makes for good stories. I mean, I did other ones, not necessarily pro. I did a mask for a guy with the artwork from Dark Side of the Moon. And then I also did one, the Eagles' Greatest Hits. I did the Eagle skull on it for a guy. But there wasn't a lot of, other than those ones, Gritov's and Bromley and Skordansky, those were the only ones that sort of had that. The only other thing you might use as a bit of a stretch would be Hayward Jaws mask.
Right, right. But obviously the Sharks theme was the prominent part of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it had kind of an intimidating look.
That's
not for the same Halloween theme.
Right.
Actually, a bit of a funny aside, my actual very first mask that I made, which was not made for hockey, it was made for street hockey. And I liked Charlie Hodges' mask. And at that time, long before plastic became the main material for Halloween costumes, you could get a number of different hats, a big top hat and a bowler hat. So I got this bowler hat, and they were all made of paper mache. You know, it's basically newspaper soaked in glue, and you put it over a form and shape it.
Yeah.
And that's when it hardens, it's got a shape. So what I did is I bought a paper mache Halloween bowler hat, and I cut the brim off it. Then I cut out the nose, and then I cut it out in the design of Charlie Hodges' mask, and then I paper mache'd it to build it up and built a paper mache section for the nose, had my mom sew up a set of elastic straps, and I wore that to play road hockey. I only ever wore it once. I was playing at a grade school. When we were finished playing hockey, I hung it on the fence so it didn't get stepped on, and I forgot it. And I went home, and half an hour later, I came back, and it was gone.
Somebody has a piece of history. They don't know it.
Got it. Oh, I'm sure it would have been in a fire or garbage long ago. That's sort of a funny aside for Halloween, but that's what happened there.
That's what I was just looking at that Skordansky mask. I had forgotten about that one. That had some scare factor, whether it was intentional or not. That had some scare factor to it.
Yeah. Now there's two different ones. Somebody else made them one, and then if it's got rounded edge triangles as the design, that's my mask. If it's got slots and drill holes and stuff, that's not mine.
No, it's got triangle. The one I'm looking at has the triangles. Yeah.
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 And that's mine. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I see the other one too.
He ended up painting over that, put another design on it.
Oh.
For the next team he went to.
All right. Well, I'm telling you, they may not. Halloween may be a stretch, but this mask would probably scare most kids if you answered it at the door. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in a lot of other things, and one of them is The Rocketeer. Ever seen the movie The Rocketeer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember it. I sort of have this vague picture of it in my head with sort of an iron helmet.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I mean, the way they portrayed it in the movie, it was made out of an old radio cabinet, which is not what happened, but that's the way they made it look in the movie. And but I have one of the ones from the movie, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I like that kind of Art Deco era, and that's when it's from. But there's another situation that's kind of helmet or head protection oriented. You know?
Right, right. And there's a Hollywood, and there's some similarities there, whether it's Jason or ties into Hollywood and that's scary. So, you know, or the mask you made for Youngblood. When we get into the scary stuff, a lot of the times it's more sort of the Hollywood vision of masks as opposed to necessarily why goalies wear it at the National Hockey League level.
Yeah, they weren't necessarily that scary, but they were unique. I did the uniforms, if you've ever seen the McKenzie Brothers movie Strange Brew.
Oh, of course I have.
All those Star Wars looking hockey uniforms, I made all those. That was my first movie project, but they wanted a helmet. They wanted a mask attached to a helmet, and then they brought me a bunch of pieces and said, like a lacrosse shoulder pad and a Cooperall girdle, and they said, can you add some plastic pieces to this? And I said, no. I said, what I'll do, I'll design the whole thing, and I'll make it, you know, based on what you have in mind. And they wanted a skeleton kind of theme.
Oh, yeah.
So it's got a spine on it, but the spines are actually chrome stove knobs.
I'm looking at it right now. Oh, that is funny. I had no idea that was you. Oh, yeah, man.
That was me.
Oh, my goodness.
The only thing that sort of maybe gives it away is the mask looks like my design of mask.
Right, with the ones with the longer chins.
Yeah, and the rounded edge triangles.
That's your distinct design. Oh, that's fantastic.
I made all kinds of crazy things for that. They wanted it to look like it was a robot, and so they used stiff springs that when they stood still looked straight, but then they could move their arms. The medallion that's in the center is actually a mold that I did for a guy for a 63 Jaguar headlight pot, and I modified it to make that the medallion, made like a vinyl diaper.
Oh my god.
Pretty crazy.
Oh, that is hilarious. This is bringing back some good memories as I look through these pictures from the set and scenes of Bob and Doug. Oh my goodness, this is good stuff. Oh, listen, this has been fantastic. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to sort of catch us up. Like I said, maybe it is a stretch for Halloween, but when it comes to Hollywood and scares, it sounds like we've got at least a little bit of a connection I can work with. And I appreciate you spending the time walking me through sort of down the history of it.
Yeah, and as far as Plot wearing his mask for the first time, he wore the mask for the first time in November of 59. I actually have a mask made for him in September of 59.
Really?
It was an earlier version of what they ended up making. Yeah. I got it from his one son.
Wow.
From Birch, the guy that made it, from his one son.
That's fantastic. Awesome. Okay, Greg, thank you so much. I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I like I said, I just can't thank you enough for taking the call and taking the time. I wanted to check in on some of this history. I know sometimes, like you said, it can get told in different ways and not always the most accurately. So I wanted to go straight to the source on a bunch of it. And I really appreciate you spending the time with me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.